you're in the 06010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Friday, October 21st. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. And we are excited to talk about a couple of things today, as you can tell. I'm hanging out in place of Fields Yates. Lucky to be here with Stefania Bell and Mike Clay. And we're going to waste no time getting into what happened during Thursday Night Football. And it was not football related
on the field. Well, it was sort of.
Well, yeah, it was not football Thursday Night Football related.
The Chiron there.
Oh, it's blocking this little helmet. That's a little 49ers helmet here. Yeah, all right. Now we can hold this up here.
Okay.
I'm just going to do this.
So Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey we're talking
about? McCaffrey.
I thought we were talking about the Taylor Swift album. I had all these notes on Mike. I did projections and rankings on all the songs.
Each one of the music videos?
I'm not prepared. Should I just leave?
No,
I thought that's
not
what we were talking
isn't
about today.
Isn't it called Midnight?
Midnights, I think.
Midnight.
With the plural S. I'm actually, we're going to do the second half of the show on that book report you brought, Mike.
Okay,
so we're going to see how much bluffing you're doing. But Stefania.
Thank God there's somebody here who wants to talk football.
CMC traded to the 49ers. The Panthers received 3 draft picks. We don't care about draft picks. Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. The question everyone wants to know, our resident 49ers fan, Stefania, how are you feeling with CMC
celebrate
as the
first
running back on your team?
Let's carve out some time. You celebrate first, then we'll talk.
I am giddy. You probably can't tell. I don't have this huge smile.
That smile
on my face.
Is so big.
I knew that the Panthers were shopping him, right? And my immediate thought is, where better is there a fit than the 49ers? The money, the trade, the picks, is it gonna, would it work out? And then I was like, John Lynch, Stanford. Friends with Christian McCaffrey's dad, McCaffrey, Stanford, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, like the whole thing. I'm like, this is one of the universe was meant to make this happen. And it did. In fact, you guys know this, but we were on a group text last night and somebody said, whoa, CMC to the Panthers. But they said it like that.
CMC to the 49ers. Or,
yeah, whatever. I'm tired.
Yes.
CMC to the 49ers. And I was like, don't tease me.
That's a really mean text.
Is this real? That is mean. They're like, no, Schefter tweet. Then, you know, when the answer was Schefter tweet, I'm like, okay, it's definitely happening.
And I was like, I double checked a few times. Yeah. I kept clicking his profile. Is this real?
Is this actually Adam
Schefter? Verified. That's not like a trick symbol. Okay, it really happened.
Yeah. How
so
crazy.
Good. So yes, took a minute. I'm giddy. I will be celebrating all week. I can't wait to see him play. Everyone has to understand this just elevated the team's chances for the postseason. And the 49ers have clearly been, all kidding aside, they've clearly been in win now mode. That was part of the discussion point around whether they were going to be patient with Trey Lance or bring Jimmy Garoppolo back or what was going to happen. And this just proves that they are in win now mode. This is what they want to do. They want to take advantage of the personnel that's there.
Yep.
And now they're adding this amazing player to the mix.
We are all unbelievably excited to see the way that he's going to work within this like zone run blocking scheme and everything that is the 49ers. But Mike, I think outside of this question that everyone wanted to know about, how does Stefania feel about it? Fantasy managers with this week, how are we supposed to know how to approach CMC? Like, can you play him? Does he get enough snaps? What do you do here?
Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on reports is what we're going to do because we don't know yet, right? And we saw that speculation from Adam Schefter last night, and he said we don't know how quickly he's going to get up to speed and what his role might be this week. They obviously like Jeff Wilson. He's been competent for them for 4 or 5 weeks now, and he's certainly going to have a role this week. So my guess is he'll be suited up.
Yep.
And he'll play somewhat of a role, maybe a 5-6 carries and 5-6 targets. And if that's the case, you start him, right? I don't know how you would bench McCaffrey if he's active.
I want to share with you guys a few stats, okay? It's my turn.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Stefania. Yeah.
100 or more scrimmage yards in 5 straight games Christian McCaffrey has. That is the largest active streak in the NFL.
Okay.
He's accounted for nearly 40% of the Panthers' scrimmage yards this season, which is the highest of any NFL player, playing about 85% of the snaps. Now, that was one of my concerns with the Panthers was the workload and the volume because he's always been one of the most heavily utilized players, and we think that that may have contributed to the injuries, at least his recovery from them. The nice thing with the Niners is that he and Debo are going to be so able to tag team that I think this is really people are going to laugh because people are like, oh, great, have fun with a player who's been injured a lot in the last 3 years. But I think this is going to help balance the utilization of Debo and McCaffrey, and it will keep other teams guessing because they both can be gadget players. So playing 85% of the snaps, which the only other running back playing over 80% of the snaps in the league this year, Saquon Barkley. And we know he's had 23 games missed the last 3 years, but we talked about this in the preseason. He's still one of the most productive players on the field when he's out there. 113 yards per game, he's still averaging 5.5 yards per touch. Over the last five seasons, he has 2,530 yards after the catch. Yards after the catch. Second most behind only, do you know who?
Cooper Kupp. No. 5 years, you said?
Over the last five seasons, 2,530 yards after the catch. Second Kamara? Most behind only Austin Eckler.
Oh, Eckler. Okay.
Yeah. And the Niners are on pace to lead the NFL for like the fifth straight year in yards after the catch.
Yeah.
So I tell you, there is no better fit. This is all the proof that you need.
Yeah. And I was talking just for this week, right? He could be limited. Right, no doubt about it. Long term, though, I mean, love the fit, right? I mean, there's a core four now. In this offense, it's going to be Debo. He's still going to play a substantial role. I think his carries will be down a little bit, right? He's not probably going to get five or six per game, but maybe two or three, something like that. Brandon Ayuk will still play a substantial role in the passing game. He can get a 20% target share, which is around where he's been. George Kittle will be in the same range, and so will Christian McCaffrey on top of getting 15 or so carries per game. So you have a core four. They're going to be on the field all the time. And then they're just going to rotate in that fifth guy, like a Kyle Juszczyk or a Juwan Jennings, something along those lines. But I think there is enough room for all four of these guys to remain lineup locks every week in fantasy.
I think what's interesting, and people are wondering what happens when Elijah Mitchell's healthy, you know, because Jeff Wilson Jr.'s had that job. Elijah Mitchell's been on IR. And I guess we cross that bridge when we get there. But the 49ers have always had a problem with running back depth because of the injury situation. So I think from their perspective, they're probably, for fantasy managers, not great, right? Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen there. I think as long as Jeff Wilson Jr. is running well, it stays his. And we'll see how they end up rotating the different pieces, the chess pieces on the field. But for Kyle Shanahan's purposes, you keep everybody guessing. You keep everybody fresh. I could see them using a lot of running back rotation, more than maybe they have. Kyle Shanahan has tended to favor one running back.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that'll change.
I don't know
by the way, I'm not counting Christian McCaffrey as a running back because I'm thinking of him as like the versatile player.
And that's a thing. He could have 10 to 12 carries per game and still be a good RB1 because of his work in the passing game, no doubt. And keep that in mind, like a lot of recency bias, right? Like the last few years, they've kind of struggled to find one clear lead back. But think about throughout Shanahan's career, Alfred Morris, the volume he had as a young player in the league was super productive in fantasy. Devontae Freeman. When they had Tevin Coleman on the roster, drafted, and Devontae Freeman was the number one scoring fantasy running back in a Shanahan offense, and then had another huge year. And then even Carlos Hyde, remember he had like 60 catches the 1 year? That was with Kyle Shanahan, right? I mean, he unlocks these running backs. Again, I'm not really worried about this. McCaffrey's playing time, maybe his carries go down, maybe even his target share. His target share will go down. He had 25% in Carolina. That's just a huge number. It'll come down a little bit. That's okay, because he's going to score more. And he's in a really good offense. There's still enough here. There's still enough for that core four.
They play the Chiefs this week. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Christian McCaffrey is going to be on the field.
See, I agree. Yeah.
And the thing is, I agree with you that it's just the beginning. It could be a limited number of snaps, but he's going to be dangerous out there. It's going to be so great.
So the difference between anyone else that gets traded to a team in the same week that they might play is that what could be the efficiency and whatnot of 8 to 12 touches from Christian McCaffrey, or opportunities from Christian McCaffrey, is I would take that any day of the week over 18 touches from Damian Harris or something. And if I got 12 CMC opportunities, like that's what you're looking for in this offense, to your point, with the way that everybody is going to lift from that. I want to ask one more question about this 49ers offense before we talk about the Panthers. And you guys both talked about Debo Samuel. I was thinking about this on the way in with the way that he was utilized by this team as a running back. And through the first 3 weeks, my thought process was, well, is Debo going to get a few less opportunities now because they might utilize him out of the backfield less? First 3 weeks of the season, he was averaging 7 targets, 5.7 carries. Okay, first 3 weeks. Last 3 weeks, he's averaging 8.7 targets, so almost 2 more targets per game, only 2 carries per game. That's down almost 4 carries per game. With the addition of CMC, I don't know if Debo was going to change. I think the Debo that we've seen the last couple of weeks feels more like the Debo that we may get long term, because yes. Now that they have those other running backs, he doesn't need to carry the ball. So does Debo take a hit because the volume and opportunity that he was going to have, where those 13 or 14 opportunities between carries and his targets, is now going to be lessened? And I know mm-hmm. you talked about the efficiency of those potential targets, but it's just going to be fewer because of the addition of CMC.
Yeah, I think the usage will be closer to the last couple of weeks, which is fine, because remember, early last season, he was a top three scoring fantasy receiver when he was not carrying the ball. I think he had one carry in the first half of the season. But I do think, just to add this in, Stefani, before you jump in, like, I think his target share from the last few weeks probably down a little bit, a small percentage dip, but just because they haven't thrown to the running back all the season, and now they will. Naturally. But what does that mean? It means instead of maybe a fringe top five fantasy receiver, he's fringe top 10. Yeah. You know, I still think he'll be okay.
Part of it that what he's so good at is that yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. That's what Debo does mm-hmm. so well. And so
him and CMC and everyone and else so in this roster.
He's going to be productive because he's going to continue to make those plays. And I just imagine one of the frustrations, remember at the end of last year, that was part of the deal mm-hmm. with Debo coming back this year in the contract situation. And we all talked about, is he going to continue to be the wide back? And I think he was concerned about how he could hold up, because remember when they played the Rams in the postseason last year, Debo was hurt. And he was hurt because he was being asked to do so much. And so I think Debo's got to be as happy about this signing as anyone.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Maybe Garoppolo becomes like a sneaky streaming option with like CMC potentially as a pass catcher.
I don't know. He doesn't throw touchdowns and he doesn't run at all. So
okay.
Two giant red flags, but maybe. Oh,
well, maybe he's going to start.
Maybe a 16-team streamer.
Maybe in a 16-team league. All right, really quickly on the Panthers. I asked Rosie this morning, well, with CMC being traded to the 49ers, who's the best player on the Panthers? And she waited. She thought about it for like a full 5 to 6 seconds. And she said, draft picks? And I was like, that
touché.
Probably is the right answer here. I mean, in fantasy, Mike Clay, if you have any of these Panthers, outside of DJ Moore, you probably aren't rostering any Panthers, but Deontay Foreman or someone taking over CMC role, is there fantasy value there?
You can throw darts at running backs. That's all you're doing. I don't think you want to start them this week against Tampa Bay, right? Best run defense in the NFL, fewest fantasy points allowed. So don't go out of your way to start these guys. If you lost, well, if McCaffrey doesn't play and you had him and you picked up Foreman, might not be your best start in the flex, right?
Yeah.
But you can throw darts and we'll see who emerges. Keep in mind, Deontay Foreman, big back, 230 pounds. We saw him filling for Derrick Henry last season and he was pretty effective, right? He was fine as a runner. He just was a non-factor in the passing game that's going to limit you in PPR formats. He's your first pickup. If not him, if you can't get him, Chuba Hubbard, worth a dart throw again. He's more of a versatile player, did more in the passing game last year, but he struggled. His efficiency was atrocious. He led all running backs in drops last year. They actually acquired Amir Abdullah during the season, and he took on a substantial role in that running game. Not to mention Cam Newton was involved as well. So I'm just not sure how good of a player he is in his second year as a day three draft pick last year. And then Raheem Blackshear, we'll keep an eye on him. He was in camp with the Bills. He's third in the depth chart. You never know. Like, this is wide open. If you're in a super deep league, you want to go for a home run pick. Blackshear's a guy maybe to throw on the end of your bench. So again, we don't know the answer, and sometimes that's okay. You just have to throw darts and
see
what happens.
That's how it works. Yeah, exactly. All right. It's going to be really exciting. We'll have so much more as we see this offense develop, and we can talk about it more and what it looks like and what it's going to mean for these pass catchers and all the skill position players. For the 49ers, not for the Panthers.
I'm just enjoying the picture of Christian McCaffrey still in his Panthers jersey with the 49ers logo behind it.
We'll update that as quickly as we can. All right, let's talk Thursday Night Football. We had a rousing game. Andy Dalton threw 6 touchdowns, 4 to the Saints, 2 to the Cardinals.
Pat yourself on the back if you started Andy Dalton over Russell Wilson because you were tired of the Russell Wilson performance.
Well done.
Yeah. Yep, I did
that worked.
When you're looking at these Saints, it's pretty hard to be able to say anything different than what we sort of talked about coming into this game, right? Alvin Kamara, 17.5 fantasy points, and he got there largely through the pass catching work. 7 catches for 56 yards, had 49 rushing yards, still hasn't seen the end zone.
That's okay.
It's coming.
I need to.
What's going
to
happen? What happens when you're not scoring? You have a super low touchdown rate and you get a lot of volume.
Regression
to the mean. It's coming. He'll score.
All right. Chris
Olave.
Yeah.
Chris Olave also looked stinking great, in part because no Michael Thomas, no Jarvis Landry, looked awesome with 14 targets.
Also because he is great. And by
he's
way,
awesome.
The Michael Thomas thing, like, that could persist. So if I just wouldn't be hanging out counting on Michael Thomas right now. If you Chris Olave, I think, is going to be the guy.
This is part of why we loved him in the offseason, because we knew this stuff could creep up and he was going to be a must start every week if it happened. And he's been even better than we could have expected. Season high, career and season high in targets in this game. So, yeah, just keep starting him. Even if Thomas and Landry and Troutman come back, you keep starting Olave.
Four straight games with 15 fantasy points as a rookie. That's unbelievable. All right, Mike, I'm sorry I did this, but I mentioned maybe, what do you think about Taysom Hill as a tight end option? And
nope. Well, I mean, I guess 10 points is like enormous for a tight end, right? You're going to keep starting it. Keep in mind, Troutman was out.
Yeah.
Landry was out. Thomas was out. Got a little extra, but still, he's only playing 20% of the snaps. It's going to be tough. He's going to be boom bust. He's going to occasionally find the end zone. That's fine, but you're not getting targets, really.
What about Juwan Johnson? A handful of carries. He occasionally found the end zone twice. Same thing.
He was kind of trending down, and then Troutman got hurt, and now he's back up a little bit. Caught a couple touchdowns. You know, you have those top end tight ends you feel pretty good about. And I think we might have some guys rejoin that conversation, like a Dalton Schultz. Obviously, Darren Waller's out right now, but maybe Dalton Schultz gets in that conversation. But then after that top five or six, there's like 20 straight guys where it's like, you know, Evan Ingrams and Juwan Johnson,
like
the three rookies now, Otten and Daniel Bellinger. There's so many guys that are basically the same. Pick your poison.
All right, for the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, sort of a night, 17.3 fantasy points, gets one touchdown. I think the biggest takeaway was the shouting match that I feel like everyone watched on the sideline between him and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, in a win.
Yeah, in a win. You're right. I think the big win here for fantasy managers was Eno Benjamin, 23.3 fantasy points. We found out James Conner was not going to roll about 90 minutes before game time. And last week, we saw Eno Benjamin have a ton of volume, but not capitalize on it. This week, he actually produced, Mike. But so did Keonta Ingram a little bit. Is there anything there with Keonta Ingram behind Eno Benjamin as a part of if James Conner continue to miss his any time?
I don't think so. I don't think there's was enough snaps or touches for a guy that you're going to feel good starting in fantasy. So I don't think you have to pick up Ingram. I wouldn't worry about that. Eno, you're going to hold on to for now, and then we'll see if Conner's back in 10 days. If Conner's out, you're starting Benjamin. If not, Benjamin is no more than an insurance back.
Okay, sounds good. Stefania, before we talk about the pass catchers, I know that Kyler took a couple of hits. You know, even though they were up, he continued to play late into the game on a couple of bootlegs. Any worries or concerns about Kyler?
Not yet, but we always wait for the day after the game to see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, the big thing was DeAndre Hopkins finally being able to see him back on the field. Yep. And what did he do? 14 targets.
We told you.
10 receptions, 103 yards. Nuke is back.
Yeah, he's back, and Marquise Brown is not. He's on IR. So as long as he's out, we know he's going to be a feature target. He basically just slid right into what Brown was doing. Brown was getting a massive amount of targets to start the season. They subbed him out. They subbed Hopkins in, and it's the same old offense. So he'll be fine. You know, it's DeAndre Hopkins. You keep starting him for now. We might have some questions once Marquise Brown is back in there. It's possible. But and by the way, Rondale's next, so I'm going to jump
right into that.
Because Rondale had his worst game. He only had two targets in this game.
Started out so nice with
that
one play.
But here's the thing. Rondale Moore played perimeter receiver, right? He was on the outside throughout this entire game, which is not where he plays. He plays in the slot. Kyler did not target him. Everything was to Hopkins. That will change as Robbie Anderson gets up to speed. Robbie barely played in this game. He'll be on the outside with Hopkins. Rondale will move back to the slot, and then you'll see more involvement from Rondale. So I would stay patient there, but, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Rondale has a limited ceiling anyway. In PPR, he's going to have some borderline flex value, but not a guy that's going to break out in full this season, I don't think.
Bit of a dud from Zach Ertz, which is tough because it just felt like he was locked. Like Kyler was just locked on to Nuke last night. And what are you going to do? Because Zach has been so good so far this season, but it's a tough game for you if you were starting him in this year.
You're going to have it.
I'm aware. I have a lot of Zach Ertz shares, so
that's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah. Even with Hopkins back, I wouldn't worry about that because remember, Brown is gone. So Hopkins replaces Brown. Ertz will get his share going forward.
All right, let's jump into the week 7 previews. Reminder, on bye this week, the Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Eagles. Sorry, Mike Clay.
Bad for fantasy.
Bad for fantasy. 5 of the top 6 fantasy scores on bye this week. Mm-hmm. So that means we've got a lot of people to fill in. Let's talk Falcons at Bengals for the first game. Lineup locks for the Bengals include Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Stefania, though, I want to get some injury updates for you on T. Higgins.
Right. T. Higgins had his first full practice since he had the ankle injury yesterday. So that is a really good sign. Glad to see him trending in the right direction. And then Hayden Hurst has been on the injury report with a groin issue. Limited, but
finger.
Yes. Very well done, Daniel. Here's the thing. Guess who Hayden Hurst playing?
Hurst. He's playing the Falcons.
Right.
Yeah.
Going back to the team that, you know, let him go. And I think he's very excited to play. This is going to be a little... He doesn't have ill will towards the Falcons, but I think he wants to show everybody like he was capable of being this level of tight end. He's certainly been utilized a ton in the Bengals offense. And so I think this could be a sneaky good game for Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst score more fantasy points than Kyle Pitts?
Probably.
Probably. So,
this is an interesting one, though. Yeah. Atlanta is the only team that the opposing tight end room has outscored their season average in every game this
really?
Season. They're the only team that has allowed that. So it actually is a really good matchup for him. The problem is when T. Higgins has been a full go, Hurst has not been very good. He has 79 yards and one touchdown and 16 targets in those four games. So four targets a game. There's a couple, you know, there's a plus and a minus here. I think it works out to a fringe starter if you're in a tough spot.
Yeah,
I think you can start.
In fact, they've all been talking about it in Cincinnati, and I think that they really like him there. I mean, we saw what... Maybe Joe Burrow is going to wear Hayden Hurst jersey.
Oh.
Do you think that'll happen this season?
No, I don't think that'll happen, but it could. You never know. You never know.
Do they make them? Do they make Hayden Hurst jerseys when he was on the...
college.
He should, I can't remember where he went right now. I'm totally spacing.
You know, if Field was in that seat, he'd tell
he would
us
know
where
for
Hayden
sure.
Went to college.
I know. I was trying
Did he tell you what round he was picked and what time of day? And
he's a first breakfast. Round pick. I know that one, but
there was a blue moon.
I just want to interrupt this to say shout out to Field Yates, who is filling in NFL matchup. Watch it this weekend.
Huge deal.
An awesome show. He's filling in for Sal Palantonio, who's a legend. We are very proud of Fields.
Yeah, he goes on vacation and then CMC gets traded. Real nice, Fields.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
typical.
Exactly. All right. So apparently Hayden Hurst went to South Carolina.
Of course. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about
I was testing it. Continue.
Falcons. Marcus Mariota, streamer this week with the way that he utilizes his legs. I mean, we always talk about you like quarterbacks that use their legs, but he's just so bad at everything else, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think so. He does have three top tens. I know that occasionally he will be a streaming option, but you know, he's been aggressive. He's adding some value with his legs. Those are the things we like. But the Bengals just really good defensively. That's the problem here. So if you're streaming, that's the week to avoid. Fifth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, and they have allowed zero quarterbacks to get to 15 fantasy points. Zero. So I just don't think it's the week to stream Mariota. Maybe next week, you know, maybe in the future, but not this week.
Let's talk about the two pass catchers then with Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I have Drake London as my wide receiver 29. He was squirrel stock down for me this week, in part talking about the way that he's just not running routes the same way that they did early in the season. This Falcons team is trying to grind out wins by running the ball more often. It's tough for me because even though I don't see him getting the same level of opportunities that he had been, Mike, he's still so good. And when the Falcons get down there, if they're going to look at someone, Drake London is a guy that they could target when he gets in the end zone. So that, to me, he's got to continue to be a low end flex play, someone that you still have to start, but I just don't feel great about it.
Yeah. I think if you just walked around and asked people who the run heaviest offense in the NFL is, you'd get a lot of Bears as the answer, right?
Yep.
But it's actually easily the Falcons. Now they've taken control there. So what it's going to come down to in this game is game script, right? He's been over seven targets in one time. They've been able to run the ball because they've been competitive, but they are playing the Bengals, and the Bengals are a good team. And if they lead throughout this game, which we expect to be the case, then Atlanta's going to have to throw more, and perhaps that opens the door for London to have a good game. And he does have a 33% target share, and I've said this a million times, if a guy's over a 30% target share, you start them every single week. It doesn't really matter what the offense is. So stick with London for now. Hope they're trailing. Maybe he'll get a few extra targets, perhaps a touchdown, and he'll get back on track.
What about Kyle Pitts? Because Kyle Pitts, I believe, has like a 26% target share at the tight end position.
Yeah, 23, which 23, again, for tight ends, that is a big number. I mean, yeah, it is a big number. The Bengals have not been great against tight ends so far. Fifth most catches and yards allowed so far. He did have the touchdown last week. The yardage hasn't been great. I get it. The volume hasn't been great, but same thing I said with London, right? There's enough target share. And they're an underdog, so if they're throwing the ball, that should help him out a little bit. I have him eighth on my board. You have him ninth. We're ranking him as a starter. He's a fringe starter, but a starter nonetheless.
I agree with that. All right, let's talk Lions at Cowboys. Really excited to be able to watch my Lions play after having a bye last week. But Stefania, I have a couple questions for you about my Detroit Lions. I know it's not going to be great. Locks for the Detroit Lions include DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and TJ Hockenson. But I want to get updates from you on DeAndre Swift, if possible. Stefania, any anything that fantasy managers should know going into week 7.
Yeah, I mean, both he and Amon-Ra St. Brown went into their bye week injured, and DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown were both back practicing this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way, full practice both days, so you feel really good about his status.
Love that.
Swift limited, dealing with both the ankle and the shoulder. Not sure he's 100%, but again, who is? It's really a question of whether he'd be able to play. It sounds like he is trending in the right direction. The Friday practice report is going to be a big deal for DeAndre.
Yeah, yeah.
They do have a couple of players who were hurt who are not looking good, like DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds. Neither of them practicing either day so far.
Well, with that being said, Mike, understanding that the pass catchers, getting, you know, Amon-Ra and DeAndre Swift back will be huge. Mm-hmm. But Jared Goff is someone that has been throwing the ball around. It's a tough defense here, but if his pass catchers, if he's going to be without a few of them, is he a streamer this week? Or would you want to look elsewhere?
You know, I think I would try to look elsewhere. He's 13th on my board after we removed Thursday night guys. So he has some big weeks, two top sevens, but he has been outside the top 15 three times as well. So he's been kind of up and down. Still not adding anything with his legs. He's really been dependent on those passing touchdowns, which he has a whole bunch of. He's still fifth in that category despite the bye week. So it's been good there. But, you know, it's a tough matchup to your point, right? Dallas has allowed the seventh fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks and has 24 sacks. That's most in the NFL. So I would try to avoid this week. I don't think this is the streaming week for Jared Goff.
I agree with you there because in part, if you're going to beat this Cowboys team, you know, they're more susceptible to being beat through the ground game. I feel like, and being able to use DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams would, you know, help the Lions from that perspective. I don't know as though Jamal Williams with DeAndre Swift is still a guy that you can flex here, because if Swift is healthy, you know, Jamal Williams, as much as we wanted to know, mm-hmm. like they utilize two running backs, it was tough to see him from a flex perspective. But you got four teams on a bye, Mike. I don't see him as a flex play for me this week. What about you?
No, I agree with you. If you look at the two fully healthy Swift games, 12 and a half touches and 45 yards per game, you have to kind of hope that he scores a touchdown.
Yep.
And you mentioned it, like, ideally, you don't want to spend a lot of time throwing against Dallas and turn the ball over and get sacked and all that stuff, but they've allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to running backs as well. They're just a good overall defense, so best avoid it if possible. I agree with you. Swift, if he's back, locking him into lineups, I would rather leave Williams on my bench.
All right, lineup locks for the Cowboys include CeeDee Lamb for sure, because the dude is just a superstar. And maybe Dak Prescott, but I want to ask Stefania first. Coming back from this thumb injury, Stefania, any concerns for fantasy managers?
Nope. Everything I hear is about how great he's throwing the ball, the zip, the velocity, the way the receivers are feeling it when it's coming into their hands. Like, I think he's Dak. And I think they bought extra time by having Cooper Rush be as successful as he was. Dak needed a little more healing time, a little more time to work with the football. You know, all of it is, it's really feel and comfort. Imagine your thumb and how integral it is to control the football. And then not only do you have a broken bone, but you have surgery. You have to, from a standpoint of re-injury, I'm not worried about any of that.
Okay.
It was really just a matter of functionality for him. And I think he's going to come in. It's going to be good. You might see a couple, like, these guys, the adrenaline gets up when they come back off an injury so badly. Dak is such a competitor, so badly wants to be out there. I could see him sailing a couple passes, being a little, you know, there's going to be a little settling time. Why are you laughing?
Lucky for him, I think the Lions have like the second fewest interceptions in the NFL. So like he can have a couple of errant throws and it might be okay.
It's fine. But the thing is, I think, so if people see that at first, like, don't panic. I mean, it's a little bit of him getting back in the groove.
But no, from that standpoint, like, it's a really, it's like a smash spot for him. Like, how do you not play Dak Prescott here?
I can feel the pain coming out of you right now.
It hurts to say that, but it's like, how do you not do that, right?
Of course. Second most fantasy points to quarterback so far this season. They've allowed 18-plus in 4 out of 5 games, have the Lions. So, yes, Dak is startable right now, and a big part of that reason is you might be like, normally you might be like, eh, let's just give him a week, right? But they're playing the Lions, and also quarterback is a mess right now. We're just like trying to find anyone who can give us quarterback one numbers. I think Dak can in this spot.
I think you're totally right there. Let's talk about these running backs, because again, we've talked about how Ezekiel Elliott maybe has not looked as explosive as he did in the past. We've talked about how explosive Tony Pollard looks, but he's not getting as many touches as Ezekiel Elliott is getting. So it's been tough to figure these guys out, understanding how bad the Detroit Lions are at stopping the run as well as the pass. Are they both starting options here for you this week, Mike?
Yeah, so second most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks for the Lions, second most fantasy points allowed to running backs as well this season for the Detroit Lions.
I need this.
Zeke coming off a pretty good game. He looked better last week. He has 75-plus yards in 4 straight. The problem is he's basically now Damian Harris. You know, like he's lucky if he gets one target, maybe two targets in a game. That's going to limit his PPR upside, of course. He hasn't scored very often either.
I think that will change with Dak, though, don't you think? Like, Dak's target, because if you think back to last year, before Zeke got hurt, Dak was targeting him, especially mm-hmm. in the red zone, a little bit more, and that's where the value is for me.
Yeah, it could be. I think Dalton Schultz will see a boost as well. You know, I think he'll kind of get going now. That's something that was interesting with Dak last year, where he wasn't afraid to force the ball to Cooper and Lamb. He would throw to Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson. He got Cedric Wilson, a nice big contract to be the number four receiver in Miami this year. Dalton Schultz obviously had a huge season as well. So I think you might see the targets dispersed around more. I mean, Lamb will be fine. Like they're going to run more plays. They're going to throw more. They're going to score more. He'll be fine. His target share might come down, but to your point, maybe, you know, maybe it gets Zeke the ball in his hands a little bit more often.
We see this very similar though. Zeke is a solid RB2 for us this week. Tony Pollard is a solid flex play given what this Lions run defense mm-hmm. is. Mike mentioned Dalton Schultz. Stefania, I want to ask you about him. He's somebody that from a tight end perspective, we used an early round, I shouldn't say early, but you know, a high enough pick that I've been expecting to use him, and he has been hurt.
Yeah.
When do we get him back to full health?
That's the thing. The injury happened, and he has a PCL injury, which remember last year with Zeke, that was problematic throughout the year. Mm-hmm. A little bit of concern about that because it's not going to heal itself really during the season. We have this stat here, Thirsty Kyle, consecutive games without a catch. Well, think about it. The first of those games where he's held without a catch was when he got hurt. The second game was when he tried to play after he was hurt and immediately aggravated his knee and then left. And then he didn't play last week. So I think he wanted to try and play through it. But the fact that he got that week off, I'm hoping that it helped a little bit. You know, he's wearing a brace to check hyperextension. I think that'll help. But I just think he'll be a little bit better, but we may not see like the best of the best mm-hmm. of Dalton Schultz, maybe until later in the year.
This feels like the ultimate, how lucky do you feel with his quarterback coming back after not playing? And then he has not played as well, but it's such a great matchup. And we know those two have good chemistry and it's like,
yeah, there's no risk against the Lions,
yeah,
right?
No big deal. Just throw a guy out there.
He has 18 yards since Dak went out. 18 yards. And Stack's injury. That's but again, I think there's reason for optimism here going forward.
Michael Gallup, I have as like a low end flex play for me just because, again, the Lions secondary. Mike, mm-hmm. you feel any different?
Yep. Like I said before, the pace will be up, the plays will be up. They'll score more. They'll pass more. That should help Michael Gallup. He has a good connection with Dak Prescott, so I do think he's a flex option this week.
All right. We're going to talk
about... Daniel's just like, get me off the...
Start
just,
everyone.
Dude, Stefania, you should be on the CSS DFS podcast. I swear, Mike and Al only choose players to talk about that are playing the Lions every single week.
How about Peyton Hendershot? You want to start him too? We'll just get everybody in there.
They seem to be winners. Sorry, Daniel.
All right. We're going to go pay some bills, and then when we come back, we have a bunch more games to get into. But Mike...
Yes. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Yep.
Sure would.
I knew you were going to say that. Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during their pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or their in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before kickoff. Pizza, pizza! All right. Before we talk about a few games, I'm going to say something real quick. Today, there's another thing that happened today, more than just the CMC trade. And today is my son Manny's 18th birthday.
Ah, happy birthday, Manny.
Manny, I wanted to say happy birthday, bud. I'm so unbelievably excited to have you in my life over the last 3 years. It has been awesome to be able to get to know you and spend time with you. And I freaking love you, man. I'm so proud of you. I cannot wait for the rest of like whatever our lives together are going to be. I'm just so pumped that we are able to spend time together. And happy birthday, bud. I love you so much. I can't wait to do stuff with you and Mom tonight. It's going to be a blast, but I hope you have a great day.
Oh, so, that was really nice of you. I'm sure you appreciated that, but I got him the Taylor Swift album, so he likes me more.
That's
tough. I'm just saying.
If you watch that, he's at school, so I'm going to have to, Manny, we're going to have a talk later if you're on your phone.
Well, it's like, I just saw that live. That's weird. Wait, where are you?
All right, let's talk about Colts and Titans here. Lineup blocks for this game for the Colts include Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. From that standpoint, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm not sure that there's anyone else on this team I'd really feel comfortable with in starting, Mike. Well, I'll tell you what, before we do that, let's talk about these running backs, Stefania. Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, both from an injury perspective. Any concern for fantasy managers with Jonathan Taylor? I thought he was close last week.
He was. And so I think, you know, sometimes you can be really close and just feel not quite ready to be in a game. And sometimes waiting that extra week will make all the difference in terms of how your performance is the rest of the season. So I think that's where fantasy managers can take comfort. If you lost out on Jonathan Taylor last week because you thought he was going to come back and you've been missing him, maybe this is the signal of something new and we're going to get consistent production from Jonathan Taylor. I know it's been up and down so far this year, but full participation in practice for him yesterday after a limited work on Wednesday. And Nyheim Hines, everybody remembers him leaving the game, looked scary, you know, when he went out. But the good news, full practice both days. Again, these players have to go through the process of being cleared by an independent neurological consultant before they can be cleared to play in a game, but it looks like he's on track to do so.
All right, so if Taylor starts, we are starting him. Mike, obviously starting Michael Pittman. What about Matt Ryan? And he's tough for me. Again, this is another one of those. We've got a bunch of quarterbacks that are we need to use as streamers this week. He threw the ball almost 60 times last week, and I think that's what gave him a lot of his value. I don't love him here this week. However, it's a matchup that could be exploited, I guess. So he's a low-end streamer for me. What about you?
Yeah, we're close. I mean, I have him 12th, you have him 13th. So we're close on the streaming radar here. And I think he's viable. He does have 15-plus fantasy points in 4 of 6 games, which is a pretty solid floor. To your point, last week he was second to only Joe Burrow in fantasy scoring. But the key is, now remember, earlier we talked about Marcus Mariota, how maybe it wasn't the best streaming week because the matchup was not right. The matchup is right for Matt Ryan, okay? Fifth most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks for the Titans this season. They have allowed every quarterback they have faced to score 16 or more fantasy points, all of them.
Hey, that's
so
good.
If Matt Ryan joins that club, he will work out as a streaming option, right? So I think he's fine. I think he's, if you're in a tough spot, you want to fire up a streamer, Ryan's an option.
All right, what about Alec Pierce? Someone that I know Stefania really loves a lot. I mean, we all are really excited about this kid, but watched him come on the last couple of weeks. Is that someone that you can trust here in the flex in week 7?
I think so. Well, I have him 43rd, so borderline flex, certainly in 12 teamers. You're looking at him, 80 yards or a touchdown in 3 straight games. Of course, the Titans struggling against quarterbacks. They've struggled against receivers as well. Second most fantasy points allowed, second most yards, most touchdowns, highest yards per target, efficiency, volume. They've struggled against that position. So he's viable. The only problem is, again, I think we talked about it yesterday, right? He's still third in line at receiver. He's not getting the snaps Paris Campbell is getting, and that led to a huge volume game for Paris Campbell last week. So that's the only concern, but he's playing really well. You would imagine the playing time will continue to increase. So if you're going to put him in your flex, I think that's okay.
Okay. Let's talk lineup locks for the Titans. It's just Derrick Henry, I think, for that team. Robert Woods is sort of a low end streamer for us this week, Mike. Not a ton of volume from that standpoint.
He has one top 40 this year, and this is a really tough matchup. The Colts have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to receivers and the fewest yards, and Stephon Gilmore could shadow him in this game. He's obviously one of the better corners in the NFL. It's not for sure, but I don't think it matters. Either way, this is a really tough matchup. So based on what we've gotten out of Woods this year, I think if you can find a way to bench him, you do it.
Stefania, any Titans injuries we should know about?
Nope.
Okay. Let's talk Bucks at Panthers. And I'm going to start with the Panthers really quickly before we do lineup blocks. Is there anybody from Carolina that you're starting this week?
Christian Mc...
I'm not starting DJ Moore. I'm not starting a quarterback. I'm not starting any of the running backs. Like, it's just a full-on void right now.
Yeah, I mean, Moore is borderline, I would say that. He doesn't have a weekly finish better than 29th, but he still has that big target share. And without Christian McCaffrey's 25% target share there now, there's not going to be nearly as many targets to the running back. So he could be a guy that survives on volume.
Oof. That's going another forward, how lucky do you feel where like maybe he's going to get an uptick because of CMC.
Right. It's just hard to bench a guy that could see 12 targets. You know what I mean? So he is at least on the fence of a wide receiver 3 or a flex option. You can think about it. But I mean, are you stacked enough a receiver to bench DJ Moore? You know, especially in like a 12 team league?
Most of my leagues. Yeah.
You think so?
Well, maybe you're just not as good of a fantasy manager as I am.
You have Chase and Adams and like your...
I got Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, and Jamar Chase in one of my leagues, yes.
Oh, okay.
In a redraft league.
Okay.
So
you're starting Deontay Foreman.
And I'm already benching Gabe Davis, so I don't know what else to do in that league.
Okay, well then you bench DJ Moore in your 16 league, okay?
My running backs are pretty bad in that league for the record. I started accidentally zero RB.
Zero, yeah.
And,
accidentally. Didn't mean it.
Well, I did that thing where Mike was just like, you know how good players just keep falling? You're like, I got to just keep taking the good players. That's why I have three awesome wide receivers, but I'm playing Dobbins and David Montgomery as my two starters.
We'll get there. Keep working. You'll get it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Bucs. Lineup blocks for Tampa. Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin all should be in your lineup here this week. What about Tom Brady, Mike? Well, what about Julio Jones, Stefania? Are we going to see Julio?
I don't know. This is a puzzling one because when it happened, remember he landed hard on his knee. We heard about a knee contusion. I don't think we, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes you don't give enough credence to that injury for what it can be, you know, because it's not a contusion, it's a bruise. How bad could it be? But when it's in the joint, it can be very problematic. And obviously it has been for Julio. He has not been himself. He hasn't been able to go. We've heard about like him warming up and then just not feeling like he was ready to go. Limited practice one day so far this week. I guess you wait and see what Friday brings, but it doesn't feel like a player who's 100% regardless. So now that you have Chris Godwin off the injury report and you have Mike Evans healthy, it's just hard to...
I don't know the path.
Russell Gage off the injury report. Like, there's nobody there who's hurt anymore. So why would you be investing in a partially healthy Julio Jones?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the path to a non-Mike Evans or Chris Godwin starting wide receiver in my fantasy lineup would be. I have no idea how bad my team would have to be for Julio Jones or Russell Gage to have to be an option for me. So it really is just those guys. Tom Brady is someone that we have just inside the top 10 in part because of how bad quarterbacks have been, Mike. But hopefully this week against the Panthers, he can get a little bit more right.
Yeah, and he disappointed last week in a good matchup against the Steelers. I mean, granted, it was on the road, and it is the Steelers, and they tend to, you know, up their game at times.
But
they were very shorthanded. He should have had a better day. But at the same time, he has 13-plus fantasy points in four straight, which, again, saying something. At the state of quarterback right now. Also has 19 or more fantasy points in two of his last three games. A big reason for that is they were injured at the beginning of the year. They were run heavy. They weren't scoring. They've gone back to their extremely pass heavy offense. In fact, this is the pass heaviest offense in the NFL over the past three and I believe past 4 weeks as well. The Panthers kind of mid pack against quarterbacks looks like a neutral matchup, but they've only played one QB1. It was Kyler Murray, and he had 22.9 fantasy points in that game. So not worried about the matchup. I think Brady is a fine starter this week.
All right, let's move on. Talk Browns at Ravens. Lineup locks for Browns at Ravens include Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, and David Njoku for the Cleveland Browns. Mike, Kareem Hunt sort of become like a touchdown dependent flex play, a guy that you're just hoping gets in the end zone, because when he doesn't get in the end zone, he kind of burns you.
Yeah, that's right. And he had the 23 points in week one, came out strong, and then he has what? He's hit double digits once since
one
then.
Time. Yeah,
so it's definitely been a disappointment. And especially last week, a season low in touches. He only had 4 and yards in that game. So that was a little bit of a bizarre step back, not what we're used to from him in terms of usage. I will say this. We know that with Nick Chubb doing so much damage on the ground, Kareem Hunt kind of leans toward the passing down back. The Ravens have allowed the third most catches and fifth most receiving yards to running backs this season. So perhaps that opens up some opportunities here for Kareem Hunt. I have him 28th. So I think he's a decent flex option. You know, maybe not in 12 team leagues and 10 team leagues, maybe in less underwhelming flex option. But nonetheless, a guy you can consider as a borderline starter.
Okay. For the Ravens, Stefania, let's talk about J.K. Dobbins before we jump into anything else. What do we need to know about him heading into this week?
Well, he didn't play the entire second half because of his knee tightening up. And we talked about this being a potential for him with coming off that significant knee injury, that even when he started to get back, as the workload or volume increased, that you could see him have up and down days. And on the one hand, we heard about how he was running more impressively and breaking tackles, which is something that he was known for before the injury, that he had one of the leading yards after contact in the league in that first year he broke out. But this is concerning to me. This is really concerning because when you hear about the knee tightening up or stiffening up, and we know he had issues with flexibility in that knee, that's part of what kept him from seeing the field in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now some of that is recurring, and it's really hard when you're getting in the season still coming off an injury like this, and this is going up and down. I think there's really decent chance that J.K. Dobbins doesn't play in this game, in which case it would be Kenyon Drake, Justice Hill, Mike Davis, with, I'm told, Kenyon Drake likely to again get the bulk of the work.
Yeah, by the way, when I recommended him like during the offseason to take a shot at him because he was falling in drafts, and I wrote like J.K. Dobbins. I meant just kidding, Dobbins. Just, like, don't
do this.
It was just kidding about that. So
yes,
I just want to make that clear.
It's
in
been
hindsight,
tough,
that,
man.
That was, yeah, it's been rough. He's been targeted in weeks. The fantasy production hasn't been good. And on top of all that, Kenny and Drake playing pretty well, and Gus Edwards could be back as soon as this week, it sounds like. So a lot of reasons to be concerned right now. I'm with you. I'll be surprised if he plays this week. And if he doesn't, by the way, Edwards is activated, it's tough to trust anyone in this backfield. I mean, Drake would be my pick for this week if I had to pick a flex.
Coming off the hamstring issue, his own self, you know, right? So he had that by Kenyon. That, again, the reason to lean towards Kenyon Drake is probably getting the bulk of the volume. But the other player I'm was concerned about is Mark Andrews, because obviously in the tight end wasteland that we talk about all the time, there's really only been two that are rock stars, and it's Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. But my understanding is that the non-practices so far this week have been primarily for him to rest a sore knee, and it sounds like there's a good shot of him being out there. But as we're recording this, we're about an hour away from Ravens practice starting. So we want to see that he's out there and doing things today before we feel really good about him getting back.
Same with Rashad Bateman. I want to see him out there and practicing as well, just as I know it's been a minute since he has been fully healthy, it feels like.
Yeah, and he's, limited both days with the foot issue. I definitely making progress, but we're not sure for this weekend.
If he ends up going, Mike, Rashad Bateman is a, you know, again, it's like one of these like dart throw flex plays that you have.
It's a good offense and he's our number one receiver. He would be a hard player to bench, but at the same time, it's a low volume passing game. He's averaging 5.5 targets per game. That number needs to go up. And, you know, that's not anything new. We talked about that even the first couple weeks of the season when he was scoring touchdowns. You know, this is a red flag. And obviously he fell off the map after that before the injury. So at the same time, you know, maybe 5 to 6 targets a game in the Baltimore offense is just enough to be a wide receiver 3. And that's where we ranked him this week. So you can start him if he goes.
As long as one of those targets ends up being a long touchdown, then I am totally with
you. It's a tough one for sure, but maybe that number rises too. The guy's so talented.
I know.
First round pick last year. This is a good offense. There's reason for some optimism there.
All right, let's talk Jets at Broncos. Lineup locks for the Jets include just Breece Hall. Earlier in the year, I swear there were more names under the Jets here as lineup locks, but it is just Breece Hall for right now. Let's talk about the rest of the Jets first before we jump into the Broncos. Michael Carter, we have just outside the top 30, Mike, in part because Breece Hall has just taken over this backfield. He's someone that I don't feel confident in if you are desperate because of how bad the running back position is and you need him as a low-end flex play, then I get it. But I don't like using Michael Carter at all this week because Breece Hall is the guy now in this backfield.
Yeah, I don't think he's the heartbeat of that offense anymore, right? He might have been the start to season, but not anymore. No more than 50 yards in 5 straight games. He's been under 8 fantasy points, actually under 6 fantasy points in 3 of those outings. Ugh. He's a bench player.
Yeah, I don't love it. What about Garrett Wilson? What about Elijah Moore? What about all the rest of these pass catchers?
Yeah, well, Elijah Moore, I just saw
a trade.
Yeah, he did. Apparently, he's back at practice today and ramping up to play this week.
Did Robert Saleh say, like, yeah, no, that's not happening?
What?
Trades.
The trades.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it does sound like he may play now in this game, which
rather than
which is tough because, you know, we're already a little down on Garrett Wilson. He has not been good since Zach Wilson has returned. Corey Davis had one good game, hasn't been too productive. You don't really trust any of these guys as starters right now. Nope. At least if Moore was out, you'd feel a little better about Garrett Wilson and Davis maybe getting an extra target. But now who knows? This could be a what do we call him? A get right game for Elijah Moore. They might try to get the ball in his hands a little bit and get him going.
We want a get right game for Garrett Wilson.
That's what I want, but I don't know if we're going to get that. So best avoid it if you can. Yeah. I think my rankings there probably are without Elijah Moore. So maybe down a couple spots closer to where you are, but they're dart throws at the flex.
100%.
Best in 12-team leagues. Right now, it's just hard to trust any of these guys with Wilson under center.
Russell Wilson, I have outside my top 10, outside my top 12. He is my quarterback 15 this week, in part because I'm just over it. I'm just over having Russell as my starting fantasy quarterback.
And add another injury to the mix. I mean, now he's dealing with a hamstring injury. So that's not going to help the situation. He's not even full participant in practice. I mean, even after the lat injury, he was doing quite a bit in practice. Now the hamstring, which apparently is, you know, significant enough to potentially compromise him and his mobility. How can you feel good about it?
You felt so not good about it that you benched Russell Wilson for Andy Dalton in the war room.
And I got 26 plus fantasy points to show for it.
So that's right. That's what 6 touchdowns will do for you.
Patting self on back.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so I'm with you. It's obviously a big concern right now. He's the one big game. Otherwise, he's been QB14 or worse, 5 out of 6 games. And who was last in offensive touchdowns this season per game?
The Broncos.
1.2 per game.
I'm just thinking about what we were talking about when the season started. And that was never a scenario that we envisioned.
No.
It would be that was last in offensive touchdowns.
Worst case scenario was way higher than that.
And 1.2 touchdowns per game, and they lose Javonte Williams. Rather than lean on Melvin Gordon, they decide, let's go and give the ball to Latavius Murray, a guy who literally wasn't even on the football field 3 weeks ago.
Well, they said, it was so weird, too. Like, if they just came out and said, we benched him, I'd feel better. But it wasn't that. It was like, I don't know. And then we had a talk, and we cleared things up. No, not hurt to my... I don't know. For what it's worth, full participation in practice for Melvin Gordon, mm-hmm. even though the neck and the
there was
thing, like he's he is projecting like a healthy player. I don't know what that means.
You starting either one of these guys?
I think it's going to be a worse version of the Washington backfield where three guys are playing a lot, and you just don't know. Like, you start Gordon, who knows? Maybe it happens again. Maybe he fumbles once and doesn't play for, you know, the rest of the game.
Latavius Murray and Mike Boone just take over.
Yeah, I do think, you know, I think most likely scenario is he starts and steals the lead here, but that could mean 40% of the snaps. Yes. You know, it's not like Murray was poor in that game. He's going to have somewhat of a role. So, not to mention Mike Boone had more pass routes run in that game than the other two combined. So, it's just too many mouths to feed in an offense that, again, cannot score touchdowns, like, at all. So... avoid if you can.
40% of the snaps in an offense that scores 1.2 touchdowns per game just doesn't feel...
That seems bad.
Super exciting.
I know we don't do, like, we don't pick games on it, but I have to know what you guys are thinking. Are the Jets going to win this?
Yeah.
Are they going
to... I'll take the Jets.
It feels like...
I will say this. The Broncos have also allowed the fewest touchdowns.
Their defense is great.
Jets defense is picking it up as well. It's a close one. I think it'll be close. But yeah, Jets probably the favorite
Jets
here.
Must watch football here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else to add on the Broncos before we move on?
Jerry Jeudy flex option. You know, they're not scoring.
Like, if you need a guy
under 55 yards at 4 straight, 1 touchdown during that span, right? He's not where we want him to be, but he is a borderline flex. He's just enough volume and talent there for that.
All right, let's talk Texans and Raiders. We'll start with the Raiders here. Lineup locks include Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, and it would have been Darren Waller, although he's not ranked, Stefania.
I know. Out with a hamstring injury, has not practiced at all. This one really looks like, how do you expect him to suddenly be ready to go when he's not practicing at all?
All right.
This kind of injury. Makes me nervous.
Maybe make other plans if you have Darren Waller this week.
By the way, Hunter Renfrow, who had come back after the concussion, added as a did not practice on Thursday because of a hip issue. So stay tuned to see if that was a rest day or if that is a something.
Okay, so that means that Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams are going to get a ton of work. Is this a Mac Hollins type day, Mike Clay?
If Renfrow is out, yes. I think he jumps into that wide receiver 3 conversation for sure. We've seen him have, actually, he had one huge game when Renfrow was out. Then he kind of busted the next week, but he's playing a lot. He's playing pretty much every down, and the volume has been pretty good. So definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I will say this, from Renfrow's perspective, even if he plays, the Texans have actually only allowed more than 7.6 fantasy points to 4 receivers this entire season. All of them were perimeter receivers. So Renfrow obviously lines up in the slot. Adams is the play here. I think the other guys best avoided if you can, but Hollins at least is in the conversation.
Got a text from our good old Kyle Soppy. Says Elijah Moore will not play in week 7.
So they rolled him out. All right. All right, there was a more positive report earlier. Obviously, that has changed. So that helps, you know, just to go back to the Jets. Like, Garrett Wilson now more appealing as a wide receiver 3/flex. Same thing for Corey Davis, a little more appealing. But just keep in mind, they're going to use Braxton Berrios a little bit more, or a lot more, perhaps. And don't be surprised. Garrett Wilson's been the slot receiver, right? So if he plays inside, they might put Jeff Smith. You might even see Denzel Mims catch a ball in this game. So... I wouldn't go out of my way to start these Jets receivers, but at least Wilson and Davis more palatable now.
I'm going to ask what's going to sound like a crazy question, but we're in week 7, right? Davante Adams got traded to the Oakland Raiders, and Hunter Renfrow, who was like a top 20 wide receiver last year, has been awful. Like, capital A, capital W, awful. Just single digit fantasy points.
Like every Detroit Lions defense, awful.
Okay, now that's too far. Is there anything to, like, is this just a situation where Hunter Renfrow is not being looked at in this offense because of Davante Adams? Like, what's going on here? Because when I need roster spots, when bye weeks come up and I see a guy that has not had even double-digit fantasy points once this week, I start thinking about how long do you hold?
So I think that the Raiders offense has been better than people realize. They've just settled for a ton of field goals. But if you look at times they've gotten to scoring range, they're right up there with the Chiefs and the Bills. Like, they're right up there. They've been pretty good in that department. They just haven't converted to touchdowns. That can improve. Week two, he had 10 targets, right? And you're going to take that. If he keeps getting that, he's going to produce. But then he got hurt. So he just hasn't been healthy for a while. I think once he does get healthy and this offense starts finding the end zone more often, I think that Renfrow will get back into that wide receiver three conversation in PPR. But for now, I mean, again, in this matchup, they've been good. I mean, Houston's been better than we expected against receivers. And he's not fully healthy, you're okay avoiding for now.
All right, what about Derek Carr? Last one here for the Raiders. Is he somebody that you are starting here this week in week seven, Mike?
Yeah, he has three top tens, and the Texans have been pretty good against quarterbacks, but you know, we talked about a lot of guys that are kind of borderline streaming options, and we have to pick a couple to
sooner
start,
later,
right?
You know, there's
a Matt Ryan and a Dak Prescott. There's a couple guys that you could stream. I think Carr is another guy kind of borderline. And again, the offense has been better than you realize. They're going to start scoring touchdowns. So I think there's enough here to stream him this week.
I'm with you. Multiple passing touchdowns in four or five games, like I said. So that from that standpoint, that's why I have him a little bit higher than some of the other streamers. Lineup locks for the Texans include Damian.
Oh, by the way, can I just mention this? Darren Waller, you know, we just mentioned he might be out. Foster Moreau was tight end 13 last year during the week's Waller miss. So again, if you need a streaming option or just a direct fill-in for Waller, he's out there in a ton of leagues. You could pick up Foster Moreau, just a name to keep in the back of your mind.
One of my favorite fantasy team names, the Island of Foster Moreau.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So good.
Damian Pierce, a lineup lock for the Texans because he is just unreal.
Yes, he is.
And let's talk about Brandon Cooks, because Brandon Cooks has been super disappointing here with you know, Davis Mills under center, somebody that we still continue to rank as a low-end wide receiver two or a high-end flex play, Mike, but I don't feel good about this.
Let's say in the offseason you had him ranked, let's say 20th, okay?
Yep.
And I told you, I'm from the future, he's going to average a career high in targets this year, which he is. He's averaging 8.8 targets per game. Where would you rank him?
Probably top 15.
Yeah, probably move him up a little bit, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah. You're not feeling like that now, are you?
No, I'm not.
It has not worked out. Career high in targets, career low in production. It's been awful. So I'll say the same thing I've said a million times. Volume is king. And a couple weeks ago, it worked out for him. You know, the high volume did lead to a big game. Then he kind of fell back to earth. So he's a tough one for sure. It's much like DJ Moore. He's a borderline starter.
Cooks, yeah, they're all in that same spot, right?
It's just you feel comfort knowing the ball's going to go his way a lot. But the production so far just has been poor. It's been a disappointment.
All right, let's talk Seahawks at Chargers. We expect a lot of scoring in this one. Lineup locks for the Seahawks include Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett. What about Geno Smith, though? Is he, like, I have him ranked as a full-on QB1. He has busted out of the streamer conversation. I'm rolling with Geno Smith until something changes, Mike. Where are you at on Geno?
Well, he's in my CSS DFS lineup, so you know how I feel. I'm feeling pretty good. Two or more touchdowns in four of his six games. He is leading all quarterbacks in completion rate. He is third in yards per pass attempt, and the Chargers have actually allowed the fifth most passing touchdowns this season. So, yes, Geno Smith is a starter.
All right, and let's talk about the Chargers. Justin Herbert is a lineup lock. Austin Eckler is a lineup lock. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are lineup locks, assuming that Keenan Allen plays, Stefania. Do we have any updates on him?
So remember how we talked last week about he had said he was doubtful for Monday night, declared himself doubtful, but then said Seattle looks bright. And there was a lot of optimism around this game. So Daniel Popper of The Athletic a day ago had this tweet. Keenan Allen on if he might want to take one more game to let the hamstring heal with a bye in week 8. And the quote from Keenan was, yeah, most definitely. It's going to be a thought process going into it. Definitely want to play it the smartest way. And if that's the best thing, then that's what it will be.
Mm.
We had talked on the show about how the bye in week 8 didn't automatically mean like you're just going to keep this player out because you might want to actually bring him back knowing that you're getting a rest the following week if he felt healthy enough to do it. But that's if he feels healthy enough to do it. And the problem when you have one of these setbacks with a hamstring injury, and I gave you the data before about how frequently this happens in the NFL, that there is a recurrence risk. The problem is it gets in the head of the athlete because you're like, ah, I pushed it last time and then I aggravated it. And it makes it harder to actually make the decision to come back. So I completely understand where the struggle is for Keenan Allen, because if he has another setback, the risk potential is this becomes something that bothers him throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. So I think just hearing that makes it a little more questionable for me.
And I think if he were this sort of like the Dak Prescott kind of feel, like the Chargers are 4-2. If this were maybe different, maybe he might push a little bit harder.
Well, if it were the playoffs, like end of season, and sure. He was really trying to get, whereas now you're thinking about what if we go not only to week 17 or whatever it is. can't do numbers right now. I'm like, wait, do they play? How many?
Do they play 18 games? How many do they play? I don't
know. But end of the season plus postseason, because that's always your aspiration. And we're only at week 6-7. We're potentially only a third of the way through. Why wouldn't you want to protect yourself? It's a real debate.
Dustin Hopkins also out, just so that you know. Don't leave him in your
kitchen. Yeah, Josh Palmer's missed practice all week too with a concussion, so he might not go. So if Allen's been full at practice, right? So I hear you.
He's only been limited.
Oh, he's been limited? I thought he was full yesterday. So anyway, you're...
At least not according to the report.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm sure. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me.
Every once in a while, with the way it's marked on the injury report, isn't necessarily what the coaches will say after practice or something. So
I'm looking at news all day long, so it could be mixing things up. But anyway, if Allen and Palmer are out, that's like DeAndre Carter and
what about
Jason
Everett?
Moore and Gerald Everett certainly would see a boost in targets. He'll be a revenge game.
Yeah.
For Gerald Everett.
We already have Gerald Everett ranked as a starter this week. He's someone inside our top 10. So if you were already going to be using him, you would just, hopefully get a little bit more.
Yeah. And he's been kind of disappointing as of late, under 30 yards in 3 out of 4 games. But if Allen's out, you're definitely going to have to lock him in. If Allen goes, he's a little bit more of a borderline starter.
All right, let's talk the next game. Chiefs at 49ers. Break down as much as we can. Some of this is going to be tough again because of the CMC news. Lineup locks we have for the Chiefs: Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
I've heard of them.
CEH is no longer a lineup lock, Mike. Is that because so many of his points have come from touchdowns, mm-hmm. and that's just not sustainable long-term?
Yeah, absolutely. Last 2 weeks, he's hit that regression wall. 68 yards on 21 touches, has 0 touchdowns. That's so obviously a far cry from where he was earlier this season. Yep. He's been out snapped by Jerick McKinnon 4 of 6 games, and Stefania's 49ers. Really good against running backs. Second fewest fantasy points allowed, third fewest yards. So on top of him being in essentially a three-headed backfield, it's a really tough matchup. I have him 24th, so more of a flex option.
Totally. Speaking of flex options, we have Juju Smith-Schuster ranked as the highest ranked Chiefs wide receiver. He is a flex option for me. Still the guy that is just used, it seems like, more than anybody else from that passing game. Maybe I would love to know this. Juju looks thicker to me this year than he did in years past. Am I wrong? Did I just not remember what Juju Smith-Schuster looked like?
And we haven't seen him much the past few years, so maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. All right. He just looked like bigger and like thicker and stockier than I remember him being at his time with the Steelers. So I was just curious about that. Maybe not. All right. No big deal.
I can't answer that.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. Only 5 targets last week, but caught them all, had his best game since joining the Chiefs. So, but before that, he was getting 8 targets pretty much every game. So he's a guy you're starting.
You know what? Our producer, Matt Harrington, just said he came in the league at 20 years old. It's not like out of the realm of possibility.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I actually was going to say that. But I was going to say that we see athletes come into any league. The thing in football is you don't notice it as much because of all the gear.
Well, I notice it, but hey, if you guys don't, I get it.
You know, you're paying attention. But if you look at players, again, the when they peak, as far as their physical maturity, it's not until like mid-20s. So you can get a lot of bulk there. Some of these guys come in skinny out of college.
All right.
Stronger.
I think, Mike, we are past our peak is what's
I would say so. Our days in the NFL are over.
Yeah. I guess appreciate all that. You took Harrington's comment. You're just saying Mike and I are old. Stefania, it's a great show for you.
Listen, you know who's not past their peak?
Who?
CMC.
Okay, so let's talk lineup blocks for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. This week, lineup blocks definitely include Debo Samuel and George Kittle. If CMC goes, we're going to have to wait a little bit later in the week. We just need to have a little bit more information to see how much he plays or how much they think he's going to play. But if he does play, like we said earlier in the show, we will roll with him. What about Jeff Wilson now? What do you do with Jeff Wilson at running back?
So I think this is interesting, too, for if CMC's active.
And the Chiefs... For those of us watching on the screen, the Jeff Wilson ranks are before CMC was traded, so they have not been changed with the CMC change.
And honestly, I don't think my ranking will change much if McCaffrey goes and is limited, right? If we expect him to play half the snaps, then I'll have to move him down. But I think Wilson will probably still be the primary ball carrier in a good matchup here against the Chiefs. But what I was going to say is the Chiefs have allowed the most targets, catches, and receiving yards to running backs this season, and now they're facing Christian McCaffrey potentially in this game. Potentially a good matchup. Again, it's just more evidence of why you might want to start him if he's active here.
You know, Kyle Shanahan loves to try and control the ball, keep it out of the Chiefs' hand, keep the ground game going if it's successful, which is why I think that Jeff Wilson Jr. will still get plenty of action in this game, because that's going to be the way they're going to try and battle the Chiefs.
What about Brandon Ayuk? We've watched him get involved with Jimmy Garoppolo a fair amount over the last couple of weeks. Stefania, do you see him continuing to be involved here?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it's like Christian McCaffrey's not going to take away that passing threat from Brandon Ayuk. And the other, Brandon Ayuk also good after with the yards after the catch. So, you know, it's not going to be huge fantasy points that I'm looking at for him, but he seems to be the number one targeted receiver.
I'm hoping the Chiefs score a lot so that they are throwing the ball Samuel and Brandon Ayuk get a lot of targets, Mike. That's what
his targets have been kind of all over the place. And he's, I think, especially now with McCaffrey there, he might move more toward that Mike Williams sort of territory where you're going to have some big games with eight targets and a long touchdown. Like last week, you had two touchdowns. Yep. And other weeks where he just busts on you and he has three targets,
and
right?
All that was in the first half. Like, he didn't see much after. What's interesting, you know, the Niners defense is a situation because they've had so many injuries on the defense, and their safety, Hufanga, who's been amazing, dealing with a concussion, hasn't practiced, he could be out. They might get Nick Bosa back. He's going to try and play. And then Jimmy Ward, their safety, has a cast on his hand, but he's going to try and play with that potentially. So, you know, they're trying. It's a big game. They obviously want to be out there, but their defense is a little bit banged up and could provide a lot of opportunity for the Chiefs to get, you know, points on the board. Because they can do that, you know.
They can do that.
I've heard.
That's a thing that they can do. All right, two more games to talk about. We got Sunday Night Football, a matchup between the Steelers and the Dolphins. Lineup locks for the Dolphins include Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. I think my big question, Stefania, is what happens here with Tua Tagovailoa? Should fantasy managers expect to be able to have him? And if he rolls, is there any trepidation that we would have?
Well, I think everybody's going to be watching, right? Everybody's nervous because the last time you saw him, he was carted off on a stretcher and taken to a hospital for observation. And obviously, this has led to everything around discussion of the game day concussion protocol and some modification of the language. And we've talked about that. But as far as the clearance process for Tua to return, not only did he go through all the typical steps and had to be cleared by an independent neurological consultant in addition to the team physician, Tua also traveled to visit multiple concussion specialists, including at Pittsburgh, interestingly, because here comes Pittsburgh to Miami. But again, the sports medicine concussion program at Pittsburgh, one of the best in the country, if not the world. And so I think everyone feels good that Tua sought a number of opinions and unanimously was cleared. There was no question from even all of these outside consultants. So while I understand that everyone doesn't like what they saw last and feels nervous on his behalf, I think Tua speaking yesterday, he was very candid about what his experience was after the concussion. He was also very candid about wanting to be out there and getting back out to play. And Mike McDaniel built in that he was going to have a full week of practice before they put him out to play. So for fantasy purposes, I don't think there's reason to expect anything different than where we left off.
Anything with Jalen Waddle before we move on and talk about the rest of this team?
Yeah, I think there's a little concern about his health. I think they're hopeful that they're going to have him, but Friday will be a big day
to be able to see that. All right. When you look at the rest of these Dolphins, Mike, the real question is, I don't trust what happened with Mike Gesicki last week. He's not a tight end that I'm streaming this week for here.
Like, yeah, if Durham Smythe is out again, then you can think about it. But sure. Smythe, of course, missed last week. He's their starting tight end. That's the only time you're considering that.
But it's Raheem Mostert. Is Raheem Mostert going to get enough volume against the Steelers defense that he can be someone that you put in as either a low-end RB2 or a flex play?
I think so. 15-plus touches in three straight. The results have been kind of all over the map, right? He had 81 yards in week four. Then he had 122 and a touchdown in week five. Had kind of a spike game. And then back to earth with 48 yards last week. But, you know, I like to see more passing down work. But he is clearly taking control over Chase Edmonds. He's the lead back here. He's still running well. So 19th on my board. I think he's an RB2.
All right, lineup locks for the Steelers this week include Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth. Is Pat Freiermuth cleared?
Pat Freiermuth is cleared.
Awesome. So we'd love to be able to hear that. Any other injuries for the Steelers this week, Stefania?
I think Kenny Pickett also had a concussion injury. Mike Tomlin had said during the week that he expected him to be able to practice. He has practiced in full every day. Well, you know, Wednesday and Thursday being the report days so far this week. So Kenny Pickett expected to play as well.
All right, Mike, we have Najee Harris ranked as a low-end RB2 yet again, in spite of what Najee Harris can be. But I feel like there's still just too much volume. This is going to be a tough Dolphins defense, mm-hmm. but I feel like when you drafted Najee Harris, it's just, I can't bench him. He's just still getting too much work to not be a flex play in my lineup.
Yeah, and you're right. 3.8 yards per carry allowed to running backs for Miami this year, third lowest. And look, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Miami. Who's next? You remember who it is? Tough matchup next week. But we talked about this,
and there's
right?
a bye week somewhere in there, too.
And he's been under 50 yards each of the past two games to start off this tough slate of games. He is another one here. Yeah. He is averaging 16.3 touches per game. That is why we're still ranking him as a fringe RB2, but it just hasn't been great. You're very lucky to get a touchdown catch last week, and you're going to need that again this week to get, you know, a decent fantasy number out of him. But again, as long as he hangs around that 15 to 17 touch range, he's going to be a viable starter.
This comes from Thirsty Kyle. This season, 51 different running backs have a 14-point game. Najee Harris is not one of those 51 running backs in the NFL.
What a fall.
Great. Anybody else here? George Pickens or anyone else from a pass-catching perspective?
George Pickens, Chase Claypool, 12-team league flexes, but you don't feel great about them right now.
Agreed. All right, this Monday Night Preview is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you can save. We are talking Bears at Patriots.
Oh, well, then we're done. All right, there's nothing to talk about.
Run the football as much as possible. David Montgomery and Ramondre Stevenson, that's it. It's running backs. It's a running back that, like, you were excited.
Although, you put Jacoby Myers in there.
What about Damian Harris, though,
Stefania? Damian Harris returns because he was upgraded to a full practice yesterday, and he's been out. Yes, he was. And so now that makes me nervous for fantasy purposes that Damian Harris might just be active this week. We don't know yet. Obviously, it's a Monday night game. Thursday is the first injury report, but the fact that Damian Harris was full, like didn't come out limited, came out full, makes you think unless there's a setback, he should be available Monday night.
Boy,
I think you could potentially start both guys. I mean, Stevenson, instead of being like a borderline top five running back, is maybe 18th in our rankings, still startable. But Damian Harris, potentially startable as well. He was averaging 15 touches a game when he was healthy in the first 4 weeks of the season, and he has a touchdown in 13 of his last 15 games. So there's one of them rare backfields where you can consider using both guys.
Yeah. Stefania, do you know what's happening right now with Mac Jones?
I see what you did there.
Thank you, buddy.
I was like, did he do it?
You said zapping.
I did. I thought I heard it, and I was just going to ignore it. I was just going to try and go right past it. Look, Mac Jones, they're talking about him potentially being the guy on Monday night, and I have real concerns because we heard at the time of the injury that this was a high ankle injury severe enough to potentially require surgery. So clearly, there was enough damage that you were talking surgery as a potential option. And doesn't mean you can't go the conservative route, which he has, but it takes longer than that for a full recovery typically. And he's been also trying to practice through it. We've seen players come back and struggle from this. Go back to Jalen Hurts last year, had a high ankle sprain, end of the season. It changed his mobility. Now, I'm not saying they're the same quarterback before. Everybody's like, yeah, Jalen Hurts, but he runs. But it changes, and it changes what you can do. It changes your ability to comfortably put your weight through that ankle.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts ended up needing surgery in the offseason and then got it fixed. And look at him now. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about Mac Jones, and it's nothing on him. Obviously, he is wanting to try and play and secure his role, but I'm just worried about him.
Totally. I get that. All right. Well, with that being said, Mike, let's talk about these pass catchers. Mm-hmm. I say Jacoby Myers will score more fantasy points in week 7 than Darnell Mooney.
I agree.
Okay.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
There we go. Love
it. Yeah, not a bold take by any means. Myers has been awesome. His 4 active weeks this season, he is wide receiver 12 in fantasy points.
That's good.
Yes, he has been really good. Tons of volume, obviously. The Bears have been pretty good against receivers. They've only allowed one big game, actually. It was Justin Jefferson, but Myers is going to get the volume. He'll be fine.
And Darnell Mooney is somebody that you are hopefully not having to put in your starting lineup unless you are in the deepest of deep leagues as a flex play.
Yeah, he's been better, 50-plus yards in three straight. They're actually manufacturing touches for him, which helps. It's enough to get him in at least the flex conversation. I've been 41st, but again, it's one of them guys. We've said it a lot. It's like the theme of the year. You don't feel great starting them. Uh-huh. How many times have I said that the last few weeks? There's just so many guys like that in this low scoring season that we're dealing with.
We were just a little bit of news. Kenny Pickett has now been cleared.
Yeah, there you go.
And is expected to start on Sunday night.
Love that. Love to be able to hear that.
We were leading to that because it all looked good, but now it's official. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter reporting he's been cleared along with Pat Freiermuth. We mentioned that before.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Go back and listen to yesterday's CSS DFS in case you want to dip your toe in the daily fantasy waters. It was a good one. I just want to say that. And check us out on FF Now Sunday morning, 10 to 1. The entire crew will be there. It's going to be a blast.
We're going to talk about CMC for like
I'm sure we will for the whole, almost the whole show.
Probably.
For Mike Stefania, I'm Daniel. We love you guys. Have a beautiful weekend. We'll see you on Sunday.
Go Niners.
Remember that time we were in New York dancing with our no shoes on?
I remember that.
Remember that time?
Dancing with no shoes.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Haze.
Oh my gosh. You're so Mike Clay.
Dad jokes are over.
That's just for some people. That's only for some people. If you get it, you get it. That was not a dad joke. That was a Taylor Swift joke.
Secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.